there are a lot of forks in the road in life. And for a lot of us, when we are faced with the various choices in life, as we always are, we sometimes opt for the path of least resistance. The easier and more rewarding option is often the most appealing choice for us. But there are some people who are able to forsake their own personal comfort, their own instant gratification, for the sake of the long-range rewards and goals. For example, I'd like you to think back with me to a group of people, really it was a movement of people in Israel, known as the Chalutzim, or the Pioneers. And in the late 1800s and early 1900s, numbers of Jewish people who dreamed of reestablishing a homeland for the Jewish people on the ancient soil of Palestine began to migrate there to Palestine. And they left their homes in Europe to make a new life for themselves and to help establish a Jewish state, something that hadn't existed for nearly 2,000 years. It wasn't easy by any means. Most of them left their homes and their families and their jobs, their way of life. In effect, they left everything that they had been used to, all for the sake of a dream they had of establishing a national homeland for the Jewish people. And when they got to Palestine, they arrived in a very backwoods place that had none of the modern comforts and conveniences of their established communities and cities in Europe. In fact, they found a land in disarray, a desert land, almost uninhabitable. It was mostly desert, but it was part swamp, and life was tough for the new immigrants. In clearing the swamps, many of the Chalutzim, in fact, were infected with malaria and died. Others came under attack from hostile Arab neighbors. But they were willing to forsake their own comfort and gratification for the sake of their long-range goals and for the sake of their children, whom they felt were entitled to a place that Jews could call home. Bodybuilders are another group of individuals who also put aside their own comfort and gratification for the sake of their goals and their personal ambition to add bulk and muscle to their physiques. By the way bodybuilding works is this. It actually differs from weightlifting for strength and conditioning. If your goal is to build muscle and add bulk, a bodybuilder must actually lift heavier and heavier weights, forcing his muscles to even tear slightly so that scar tissue could be formed, thus contributing to greater bulk. Lifting heavier weights, though, can be excruciating, and that's why the common refrain and slogan of bodybuilders is, no pain, what? No gain, right? Bodybuilding is not the sport for you if you're looking for comfort and gratification. No, you must put those aside for the sake of the long-range goals of building muscle and adding bulk. Well, such must be the life of faith at times also. You see, when faced with difficult choices, a believer must often forsake his or her own momentary comfort and take an eternal perspective on things. That, by the way, was the challenge that was being faced by the Jewish believers who are addressed in the letter to the Hebrews. That was a community that was being persecuted for its faith. And because of that, some of the members of that community were actually retreating back into Old Covenant Judaism. You see, they wanted to take the path of least resistance, the one that was the least uncomfortable for them. In the passage that we will be looking at this morning, the writer wanted to let his readers know that the life of faith, however, often requires forsaking one's own personal comfort for the sake of the long-range rewards. Faith often requires choices that favor long-range rewards over short-term benefits, even our momentary comforts. And by the way, Moses was a prime example of that. In his life, Moses had some life-changing choices to make. So Moses illustrates for us the choices of faith. Hence the name of my sermon this morning, The Choices of Faith. And so would you turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, and we will be looking at verses 24 to 26. Hebrews 11, 24 to 26, for a message entitled, The Choices of Faith. Okay, and our main idea this morning that comes out of our text, this is what the writer wants us to know, and that is this. Faith chooses the eternal rewards of heaven over the temporary pleasures of sin. Let me say that again. Faith chooses the eternal rewards of heaven over the temporary pleasures of sin. Would you look with me now at Hebrews 11, 24 to 26. It says this. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Messiah greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Now, the first thing that we see in our text this morning is what faith refuses. Okay? Faith, what does faith refuse? It refuses the temporary pleasures of sin. Right? And the first thing that I want you to consider is the utter pervasiveness of sin. Right? It is everywhere. It is ubiquitous. You cannot avoid it. It was immediately present in Moses' life. He didn't ask for it, by the way. In fact, he had no control over it. You might remember from the story in the early chapters of Exodus that Moses was adopted from a very early age. He was literally drawn out of the water as a baby. And by the way, his name is testament to that, right? Moshe, the Hebrew name Moshe, actually means that he was drawn. Because as Pharaoh's daughter says, she named him Moses because ki min hamayim mishitihu. Because from the water, I drew him. So Moses was the drawn one. And you know what? The way some people could look at that, you know, if you were ever going to be dropped into a particular family, many would say that that was the family that you wanted to be dropped into. The royal family of Egypt, the most powerful empire on earth, right? But now, and by the way, Moses found himself in the royal family, in the palace. He had it all. We might say that he was on easy street, right? But when he grows up, he has a choice to make. Would he choose to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter? Would he continue on in the lap of luxury? Or would he realize that God had a greater plan for him? You know what? There are going to be things in your life and mine that will require us to make those very same types of choices. You see, sin is pervasive in our life as well. Sin beckons in our own lives, doesn't it? Moses was not alone in that regard. He had no control, Moses did, over the pagan environment into which he was raised, in which he lived and moved, into which he was adopted, in much the same way that you and I have no control over the sinful environs of the evil world system in which you and I are reared, live, and move. Sin is every bit as pervasive for us as it was for Moses. And so I'd like you to consider with me, in fact, the various ways and forms that sin might beckon our energies and choices. In the world and in life, you and I might be tempted towards status. Maybe we're driven by the need to achieve status in the world. Or maybe it's prestige. Or maybe we're driven to achieve wealth in life, or power and influence. Sin may even come at us in the form of peer pressure, living up to the expectations of those around us. But the temptation to sin and to adopt the ways of the world is around us all over, 24/7. So it's pervasive, isn't it? Sin is pervasive. It was pervasive for Moses. It is pervasive for us. But in addition to the pervasiveness of sin, would you also consider the pleasure of sin? Now, you're thinking, did I just hear that from the pulpit? The pleasure of sin? We call ourselves a messianic congregation. Oh, yeah. By the way, Scripture itself acknowledges the pleasures of sin. Hebrews 11:25 in our passage says that Moses chose rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Scripture says that. Do you notice that? Right? Scripture calls it pleasure for a reason. Sin feels good. It appeals to our carnal pleasures. And so it is legitimately pleasurable. And think about this. If it weren't, it wouldn't have any hold or sway over us. You know what? If sin were not fun and pleasurable, then nobody would sin. But we do, don't we? The fun and pleasure aspect of it is what makes sin so appealing. But notice the author's caution here. Oh, yes, sin may be pleasurable. But what else does he say about it? He says it is passing. Did you notice that? It is a passing pleasure. I like the KJV here. It's not always my favorite Bible, but I like what the KJV says, King James Version, right? It says that it is for a season, right? It's a passing pleasure that is only for a season. It is temporary. It is not a lasting pleasure. The pleasure of sin is not lasting. In fact, the price we pay for sin later on is usually no fun at all. Many lives have been ruined by the inability to say no to sin. Even though sin, undoubtedly, much of the time is the easier choice, the path of least resistance, it can often be a deadly road. You know, there's a story that I heard years ago, a true story at that, by the way, and I've shared this illustration on various in various contexts here at Beth Messiah, but the story was told years ago of a new believer. He was a young man, and a young husband, a newlywed at that, and he was very much in love with his wife, and the two of them had only recently come into a saving relationship with Yeshua. And they were growing in their relationship with the Lord. They were serving in their local church. And not long after that, the young husband one day went on a business trip to Las Vegas. And on one of the days of his business trip, after having worked a long day, many hours, the man came back to his hotel. He was a little tired. It was late. And he figured he would just go to the bar for a few minutes. He would unwind at the bar with a drink before going up to his room to retire for the evening. And as he was nursing his drink at the bar, an attractive young woman sat down next to him, and she began talking with him. And her conversation soon turned risque, and she began to flirt with him. And one thing led to another, and she finally invited him to go up to her room with her and sleep with her. Well, after a couple of drinks, and having become attracted to her, his resolve was worn down. And he began to think, what could be the harm? I'll never see this woman again. I don't love her. No one will ever find out about this. And after tonight, it will be all forgotten. I'll go back to my wife, the true love of my life. And so he went with the woman to her room, and he spent the night with her. And by the time that he woke up in the morning, she was already long gone. And as the man went into the bathroom in this hotel room, he looked at the mirror, and he noticed a few words that were scrawled in red lipstick over the mirror. And they were the words, "Welcome to the world of AIDS." Turns out that the woman was infected with AIDS, and out of pure vindictiveness, she wanted to infect others with the disease. This young man was just her latest victim. For his part, soon after he was diagnosed with AIDS himself, and so for good reason, that's why Scripture calls it the passing pleasures of sin. That young man's night was pleasurable for a time, for a season. But afterwards, for this young man, it turned out to be deadly. That's why Scriptures say that's the passing pleasures of sin. Question, are you and I living for the present, for the here and now, for the pleasures of the moment, the pleasures of this world? Or as are we heeding Scripture, which says to be seeking the things above, In fact, listen to the words of Paul in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. You don't have to turn there. But he says, if then you have been raised up with Messiah, keep seeking the things above, where Messiah is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. You know, that might be difficult at times, right? But the rewards are well worth it. You ever seen that bumper sticker that says, just say no to drugs? Well, believers might as well have their own bumper sticker that says, just say no to sin. Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. First point in our text, what faith refuses, and it refuses to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Well, if that's what faith refuses, let's look next and consider what faith chooses. What faith chooses is the momentary discomforts of righteousness. Look again, verses 25 and 26. Choosing, here's what by faith Moses chose, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Moses gave it all up. He went from the palace and royalty, you know what? To slavery and servitude, bondage. He traded it in. He chose the momentary discomforts of righteousness. And by the way, this had great bearing on the readers of the book of Hebrews and their immediate life situation. Why? Because they themselves also were enduring ill treatment as the people of God. Remember, they themselves were being persecuted by the Jewish community for their faith. And so the author is reminding them that Moses, the very hero of the old covenant Judaism to which they were now retreating, chose himself to be aligned with the persecuted as opposed to the persecutors. They too needed to consider the reproach of Messiah greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, greater riches than being accepted by the rest of the Jewish community, those who didn't believe. You know, there are a lot of Jewish believers today who are almost bending over backwards to become acceptable to the Jewish community and who are compromising on their faith and on their walk to do so. I remember years ago, there was one of the Messianic leaders of the Union of Messianic Jewish Congregations, and he was in Israel, and he was interviewed by one of the daily papers in Israel. It might have been the Jerusalem Post, and they asked him, tell us, do you really believe that you need to believe in Yeshua to be saved from eternal wrath and judgment? And he was so caught off guard by that, he didn't want to give the unpopular answer. Scripture says, by the way, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have the life, right? Scripture's clear. But he was unwilling to make that unpopular, which he knew would have been unpopular with his host and interviewer. And so he said, well, you know, it's kind of up to God, right? So he kind of retreated. Moses' example should influence our choice and our choices. You know, there's a true story of a young woman who was a nurse living in China. And because of the overpopulation and crowding in China, China actually has a policy, a government policy, and a quota on the number of children that you can have allowable under Chinese law. The maximum is 2. So one night, there was a story of a woman who was admitted to the hospital who, because of some accident, she had gone into labor prematurely. The hospital administrator soon found out that this woman had already met the quota. In fact, she exceeded the legal quota of children that she could have. So resultantly, they ordered that the fetus in her womb would be aborted. It just so happened that the nurse that I referred to, who was working in the ER that night, the emergency room, in addition, she had only recently become a believer. This nurse had only recently become a believer in Yeshua. She had just become a Christian. And now the hospital administrators were ordering her to take the life of this child. Because of her newfound biblical faith, She couldn't bring herself to kill the child. Consequently, the police were called. They arrived and they took the young nurse into custody for civil disobedience. All she had to do was comply with the orders of her superiors. Yet this young believer, this nurse, chose to obey God, the same God who created life, the same God who sanctifies life, and because of it, she was arrested by the civil authorities. When faced with the choice, she chose the momentary discomforts of righteousness. Perhaps, too, you might remember a young girl many years ago whose name was Cassie Bernal. And if you don't remember who Cassie Bernal was, she was a young Christian girl who happened to be at Columbine High School the day of the tragic school shooting there years ago. She was confronted at gunpoint by one of the young killers, and she was asked the simple question, "Are you a Christian?" Cassie said yes, in what would be the last word that was ever uttered out of her mouth. In one fell swoop, she was shot point blank in the brain. By the way, she subsequently became the subject of a Christian song and a Christian book entitled She Said Yes. And if you think about it, it would have been so easy for her to answer that question that day with the word no, or think of some other creative answer or stall tactic. But you know what? That young girl was prepared and resigned to do the momentary discomforts of righteousness. She is now with the Lord, where there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. She chose her eternal reward. Well, how is it that ordinary people like Cassie Bernal, even like Moses, how is it that believers can make those tough choices in life? How is it? What is it that enables us to endure the momentary discomforts of righteousness now? Well, the answer is found in verse 26 in Hebrews chapter 11. And here's the third point in our text. We talked about what faith refuses, the passing pleasures of sin. We talked about what faith chooses, the momentary discomforts of righteousness. And notice lastly what faith muses. I wanted it to rhyme. Okay, but what faith considers, right? It takes in. And that's the eternal rewards of heaven. When we understand the eternal rewards that are ours for a life of faith and righteousness, that's how you and I can choose to make the tough choices. Look what it says again in verse 26. He considered the reproach of Messiah greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. What's the next word in your Bible? For? Because? Right? Okay. Meaning that it's giving us the reason now, right? He was able to consider the reproach of Messiah greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Why? Because he was looking to the reward. Moses chose his heavenly reward over earthly riches. You know, if he had continued to live in Pharaoh's house, he could have had all the earthly riches that any person could ever want. In fact, look at the opulence of the pyramids. You've heard of Tutankhamun? He was one of the pharaohs in Egypt, one of the kings. You probably know him better by his name, King Tut, right? King Tut's tomb alone contained several thousand pounds of gold in it. Can you imagine? By the way, the prevailing notion in his day was that you actually could take it with you from this life to the next. Now, I think probably today King Tut knows better, right? But, and in fact, a large part of the collection lies on display at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City. But Moses could have had that kind of wealth in his life. He could have been buried in one of those magnificent tombs. Instead, he's buried in an unmarked grave on a lonely hill in the desert. But I would submit to you that Moses made the right choice, because Scripture says that God presided at his funeral. Moses chose a heavenly reward over earthly riches. You know, there's a story in the Gospels, and it's quite a contrast from this. But remember the story of the rich young ruler in the Gospels? And Yeshua says, give away all your earthly treasures, and I will give you treasures in heaven. And he couldn't do that. He couldn't do that. And so all he could do was walk away sadly. He chose the riches and comforts of this world over the treasures of heaven. Moses was the opposite. And like Moses, you and I also must choose the heavenly rewards over earthly riches and comforts. Sometimes even we must make the uncomfortable choices in life. In fact, all of us every day are faced with choices, aren't we? And written over the fundamental choices in life are these words of Yeshua: "He who chooses me must be willing to give and forsake all that he has." Doesn't mean he's going to take everything from us, but we need to be willing, don't we? Right? In fact, Yeshua said as much in Matthew chapter 16, verses 25 to 27. Hear the words of Yeshua. He says this: "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake will find it." Don't you love Yeshua's paradoxes in the scripture, right? They're so at odds with the world's values, right? "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world, but lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." Are we living for Messiah's rewards? Yeshua also said, "Seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you." Are you and I willing to forsake our momentary comforts and gratification for the sake of long-range heavenly rewards? That's the question that our text is asking of us this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the example of Moses. In fact, this whole chapter is a Hall of Fame chapter for those who walked by faith and lived by faith and made choices according to faith. Abraham left everything for you because he counted you faithful who made those promises. Moses traded in a life of royalty and luxury and wealth and opulence for a life of servitude and hardship, and in fact lived 40 years in the desert and wilderness because he knew that the God whom he served is faithful to reward us in the end. Lord, help us to have that same resolve to make the tough choices, not to take the path of least resistance, not to do things because we will fit in better with those around us, but help us to endure the momentary discomforts that righteousness often brings, because we know we have a God who one day will reward us, and there is nothing that can compare with what the world offers. You are the God who is everything to us. We praise you for that. In Yeshua's name, amen.